Okay, is everybody back?
Great. Yeah, but welcome. But we have to get serious now. We're being recorded.
Yes, we're being recorded. So, are there any announcements? People kind of winding down for the holiday mid-weekend.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of economics, a colleague has recommended the Council of State Legislatures state-by-state analysis of climate change impacts, and the one for Colorado is just mind-boggling economically.
In terms of the cost?
Yeah, in terms of the impacts and costs to our two largest income streams in the state, which are the ski industry and agriculture, are just devastated by all the impacts that have already started cropping up. And it boggles my mind that you can read those kinds of numbers, which I'm sure the majority of our state legislators and governor's office and so forth have done, and still sit on your hands.
Well, I was pretty struck last week when I had been at the Sea Level Rise Summit in Boca Raton, Florida, and on their website, this was a week and a half ago now, and on their website they have pictures of low tide and high tide in various municipal areas where the sidewalks are covered with water at high tide. And then I left, and like days later, they had these big storms, and on the news it was all these areas that were, all these areas that were flooding because of the storm. So I was really struck that they had talked about it as being a present concern, that things that were happening now, and then there it was on the news.
And most of the talk is in terms of adaptation, building more reservoirs for agriculture, for instance, in Colorado, and those kinds of adaptive strategies. But it doesn't turn to the question of how can we reduce greenhouse gases.
Yeah, well, most people, I think part of the problem is, I think part of the problem for that is that adaptation, you can see you're doing something now to address an issue that's happening now. With
right.
reducing greenhouse gases, it doesn't get to addressing the problem that's happening now. And that might be the difference.
Yep.
Is this a report that's available for people to look at?
I'll send out the URL. It's it's the Council of State Legislature's product. And when you go to the website, you click on your state, and you get a 2-3-page, well-cited summary of the impacts for your state.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd love to see that.
Okay. I'll be sure to send it out today to the network.
Okay. That's
Thanks,
great.
Karen.
Other announcements? I'm going to tell you, the ESA Federation is having their summer meeting in Madison, Wisconsin in a couple of weeks, and there's going to be a day-long teachers' workshop that I'll be participating in. Also, I wanted to remind everybody that the abstracts or submitting abstracts to GSA and AGU is open. I've just been putting it together now. We have I think three sessions in climate literacy at GSA, and we actually now are up to a list of 12 at AGU.
Wow.
And how that came about was that we submitted 9, and then there were other submissions on climate literacy, and I contacted the conveners of those sessions and asked if they would like to be part of the emails I send out that are advertising the whole suite of sessions. So we're now up to 12. Where one other one is in education, and then one is in public affairs, and one is a union session. So I'm hoping to get that out in the next day. The abstract deadlines aren't until one is August 8th, I think that's AGU, and August 14th is GSA. And those meetings are, GSA is the beginning of November, and AGU is the beginning of December.
Yeah, there are some related GSA sessions, too. Like, there's one on teaching controversial issues and uncertainty. That's not one of the sessions that you help coordinate, but is relevant. And there, I think there's one or two others.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's one that I was actually a co-convener on. It has to do with teaching about uncertainty. And I've included that in the list. But if there's other ones that you know of.
I think there's a controversial issues one.
Well, why don't you send me the name of it and who the conveners are, and I'll ask if they want to be part of the. Because I'd like to be as inclusive as possible to get people to submit abstracts.
Yeah.
Okay, so great. So how many more? So you think that there's just one other, or?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'll take a look at it right now.
Okay, great. Are there any other announcements?
I was just going to say that Michael Passow has a session at GSA on pre-college programs for STEM education in the geosciences. So if anybody is doing any programs that work with climate change and geosciences for that audience, that might be a good one.
Yeah, but we actually do have a climate literacy session that will focus on that. So that would be a competing one, actually. Somebody else too?
Yeah, Tamara, this is just a connection, and I don't know if we're connected to them or not. I'm one of the things coming across some of my email now is about the new Northeast Climate Science Center out at UMass Amherst. And I know Rob DeConto in Geosciences is affiliated with that based on the information I received. I don't know if we're hooked into them at all, but I'm assuming they would be at AGU and GSA.
Okay, can you send me by email the name of it and the person that you know that's involved, and I can try to make that connection.
Terrific. I would be glad to do that.
Okay.
Did any of those of you down in the D.C. area go to the release last week of the National Academy's climate change booklet and videos?
No, I did not have a chance to do that.
No.
Peg?
It's from the America's Climate Choices work that the academies did. And they had an ice cream social advertised as cool down and hear about climate change or something and at the Koshland Museum. And then they have a series of YouTube videos and a booklet. And I had one friend who's involved with environmental organizations who went, and his reaction said, it's not bad, but it's kind of geeky. And I was just wondering whether other people felt the same way about it.
And what is the book?
Yeah, I watched the video, and I thought it was a pretty straight, you know, here's the science, and I thought it nicely integrated the history of the scientific understanding of climate change.
Oh, good.
It's a 25-minute that you can watch in one 25-minute setting, or I think there's like 7 or 8 chapters that are however many minutes long each.
The website list. I haven't had a chance to watch the whole thing, so that's helpful, Don. The website lists 7 chapters. What is climate? Is Earth warming? Greenhouse gases? Increased emissions? How much warming? Solar influence and natural cycles?
How did this come out of the America's Choices work?
Just the products that they created.
So is it abstracted from the report, or is it sort of building on the report?
I can't tell you that. All I know is I got an email this morning that says it's out. I'll forward
yeah,
it.
I
what
actually,
is the name? What is the name?
I actually wrote a very short blog post on it yesterday. It's just kind of says here it is, and here are links to the chapters, and I think it's pretty nicely done.
Good. Thanks.
And in answer to the earlier question about other sessions at GSA, I guess in scrolling through just the titles, there's really one that sort of leaps out at me as being relevant, and that's Teaching Controversy in the K-16 Earth Science Classroom.
Okay.
And I'll send you the info on who's the convener and such. It's
okay.
Tanya Furman is the primary advocate.
Okay. Any other announcements or things people would like to discuss? One question I'd like to ask, actually, because regarding if anybody's heard of the NSF CSEP Phase 2 projects, have anybody heard who else might have been funded? I only know of one so far. All the other ones that I've contacted were turned down. So I know that the New England Aquarium is going to be funded, but I hadn't heard about any others. I was wondering if anybody else had.
Can you remind us what the New England Aquarium's focus was?
It's informal environment, so it's focused on facilitating interpreters at museums being able to effectively communicate around climate change issues. And I think during the course of their phase one, they expanded from just aquariums to include zoos. And I don't know whether they included other museums, but aquariums and zoos, I think, was what they proposed this time.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So, but nobody's heard anything else. Okay.
No.
I know it's not been officially announced, but I have heard about that one. Okay, well, anything else?
Stay cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think all our brains are fried.
Yes, I think
the weather
so.
Here in Buffalo is beautiful.
Oh. Blow in the other direction, Don.
Yeah, although we actually are looking like we're going to get some pretty severe thunderstorms this afternoon.
Well, it's beautiful here. I mean, it's been really nice.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, Buffalo has had a beautiful, beautiful summer. I mean, consistent highs in the low 80s and sunny all the time. I've gotten way too much sun too many times.
The extremeness.
Climate change will be Buffalo.
The extremeness of the weather that I've been subjected to has just amazed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that
Minnesota is at 99, which is mm-hmm. not Minnesota. We don't do this. We don't do this well.
Yeah.
We're breaking all sorts of records in Colorado too. To mention fires and thunderstorms. And
yeah. Okay, I also got an email which I'm going to look for and forward on to everybody. There's another report from Tony Lazarowitz in terms of changes in perceptions about climate change,
mm-hmm.
and how there are more skeptics now than there were, I think, in I'm going to say 2003, but I'm not
really.
I'm not
wow.
sure that was the other date.
Can you say that again? I missed that.
I'm going to look for it now. There was an email that I got from Tony Lazarowitz's a climate change education project at Yale. It's a report that it shows a graphic of the comparison of changes in thoughts about different aspects of climate change and its
mm-hmm.
reality. I'll find that and I'll forward it on
okay.
when I find it.
Have any of you, I mean, last last night or the night before, the McNeil Lehrer News Hour, or whatever it's called now, the News Hour, interviewed a climate change person up here at NCAR for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. But other than that, there has been no media linkages of what's going on to climate change. Is that true in your locales as well?
Here in Minnesota, we're actually, there's a lot of linkages. I've been really impressed, especially after the flooding last week in Duluth and the heat. There's a lot. Our local weather folks are really saying that this is a postcard of, you know, this is the future. I've been really impressed, actually, with the coverage locally.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if the fellow that's talked with us about the weather forecasters, whether he was jumping on this and supporting
Dave
local
Jones.
Folks in doing that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that,
I think that's the focus of his effort. Dave Jones is also part of the ESA Federation. I could actually ask him about that if he's at the meeting in a couple of weeks. I just forwarded that email, and it was 2003. And there's a graphic right in the email. It says percentage of respondents and under naysayers. In 2003, it was 7%, and in 2010, it was 23%. So that was I haven't seen the report, but that's just the graphic. And then there's other issues here, melting ice, heat, nature, ozone, alarmists. Alarmists went from 11% to 14%. Flood and sea level and climate change. And all the rest of them, except for alarmists and naysayers, which went up in 2010, all the rest went down in 2010 compared to 2003.
This is Peg. I'd be interested to see what the numbers are after in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
I was very interested to see that the head of Exxon indicated,
yes.
Do you see that, reported that?
Yes.
The climate change was happening, and it was because of fossil fuels. I mean, that's a game changer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm wondering? If we contacted, help me, Tamara, the name of the weather guy.
Dave Jones.
If we contacted him and said, if you want us to send stuff, I would be willing to do this. I don't know about the rest
mm-hmm.
of you. If you would send us the kind of information that you send to weather forecasters and want
mm-hmm.
us to contact our local weather forecasters and, you know, do a personal contact with them to provide it with them.
Okay, sure.
You know, I just think that, I think Peg is right, but I think to make... to help everybody make the connection, it needs to be more overtly made.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, I actually heard a Science Friday on climate change with Tony Leiserwitz. And one of the things that was kind of interesting was, like, he didn't talk too much about whether people thought it was that climate changing and man was responsible, but people did say that climate was changing and that they really did want the politicians to address it, that it should be part of the presidential debate. Regardless of whether they think man is causing it or not, people are beginning to say, yeah, it's actually happening, and that it needs to be dealt with.
Hmm.
But most of us have not really seen that in the political arena in our local debates, is that correct?
Well, Annenberg has a new addition to their fact check thing called FLACK, FLACK check, where they're emphasizing to TV stations and other media outlets that they are not required to show advertisements from PACs and interest groups and political parties, and they can turn them down if they're so deceitful and untrue that they can't stomach showing them. And they've also let broadcast stations know that they can charge any amount they want to air those and thereby suggesting that thereby they get enough revenues to do public service announcements after them telling the facts, which I think is an interesting turn of events for the election.
I don't know. I still think it's not good to show them. I mean, that's sort of like in gives the opportunity for people to get the wrong information and then not listen to the
right
information that might come after it.
And what this group is doing is telling stations they do not have to show these. They have to show the ones from the candidates, but the others they don't have to be shown by FCC rulings, you know. But, Tamara, if you'll send me the contact information for Dave Jones, I'll be glad to email him.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
I just think this is a summer that's too important to not take advantage of.
Okay, are there any other comments or thoughts?
Have a good 4th of July.
Yeah, have a good 4th of July. We'll talk again next week.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.